right, everyone. Let's open our hearts in prayer today as we develop the kingdom of God mentality. We want to take on the things that God is trying to tell us today are going to be very relevant to not only our life in the spirit, but also our life as we work it out in the kingdom of God on this earth. So we're going to pray together, thy will be done, Lord. Father, we pray that your will would be done, that it would be accomplished today on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, may the bread of life be broken to us today. We thank you for it, and we thank you that your will is exceedingly above and beyond what we could even ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to speak today about God's covenant love and continue to develop that. We spoke about it last week, about God's covenant love, and establishing covenants with God are very important. There was a very strong covenant that God cut with us when he died on the cross. His blood was the covenant to us. It was a commitment to us. And how many of you know words in these days that we're living in, sometimes words are just words, you know? I mean, you know, it's just words. But God is not that way. He's talking to us. He wants us to become covenant people. And I really want this tape to be able to go out to the public. And so I'd like to have this as clear as day and as clear as possible, please. I'd like it to sound good because I'm going to give it to a lot of people. Because in this day, there are a lot of people that aren't speaking out for God, and I'm going to speak up. I'm going to do what God has called me to do, to speak on his covenant love. And I really want to believe that today it's going to accomplish some things in the kingdom. There's a joke that people say sometimes, it's easier to split than to fit. And, you know, in marriages or churches or families, you know, it's just a whole lot easier to split than to fit. But God's love is not self-seeking. God's love is eternal. It's beautiful. It's strong. God's love is faithful. And that's the way we want to be. So much about God's love is tied up in this word called covenant. What is covenant? Well, it is a very narrow path. Okay? It's a very narrow path. It's a path, the Bible says, that leads to righteousness, it leads to peace, it leads to joy. Covenant is a commitment that we make with God and that we make with other people. And I want to talk today about a covenant that was established here, and it was a beautiful covenant that God has established in the Word, and I'm going to read it to you. It's about Jonathan. Jonathan was a man who made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. That's what covenant is all about. It's making a commitment of faithfulness to God and to others. And the heat, though, that's coming on in the end times, the Bible calls the end times, and I wrote this down because it's very important. There's an arising of this thing that it's called pressure. Everywhere around us, there's going to be pressures. Wherever you look, there's going to be people breaking covenants, people breaking their word, people not being faithful to speak truth and grace. But in this hour, the people of covenant, the Bible says, are going to rise to the top like cream. In Psalm 15, it says this: "He who dwells in this place of covenant, who is very strong about speaking the word and is strong about speaking it in their heart and in their mouth." I'm going to read it to you. It's beautiful. It's in Psalm 15. This is the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful example of covenant. It's this: "Lord, who can dwell in your sanctuary, or who can live on your holy hill? But he whose walk is blameless, and he who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord. And get here, this is what I want to accentuate. Who keeps his oath, even when it hurts. Who keeps his word, that's what it means. Who keeps his word, even when it hurts. Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. It says, he who does these things will never, ever be shaken. Now, there is a maturity coming to us, a deep abiding trust in God, whereby we can know that God will protect us. When we are faithful to God, he will protect us. That's a covenant promise. I spoke to God about this the other day, and I said, Lord, why are so many people afraid of saying your will be done? I think people are afraid of saying that is because they don't really want God's will. If you truly want God's will, you're not going to be afraid to pray that. But I believe it's the most safe prayer that we can ever pray. Jesus prayed it under tremendous pressure. When he was under the gun, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, not my will, but let yours be done. When he was under the most awesome, tremendous pressure, he wanted God's will. And that is the exact place that we can stay protected when we pray those prayers. I will do your will, O Lord. I will do your will, O Lord. And I pray that you would fight my battles. Now, if I seek God and I ask him for his will to be done, then we have to understand that there comes a, sometimes it's a pressuring. It's a test that comes to us because our flesh wants to do one thing and our spirit wants to do another thing. But if you get real quiet, you can hear the voice of the Lord say to you, I will be there for you. I will protect you if you will step out and speak up for me and do what I ask you to do. Why does it take so long for us to understand this? If God loves us, won't he protect us? Like I said last week, if we watch out for our homes, if we watch out for our precious jewelry, if we watch out for the things like our children, why wouldn't God watch out for us, right? He's watching out for us. He's always watching out for us. And so we have to remember that and stand up for him and stand up for what is his will. Okay? Now, it may be that we need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death when we're doing God's will, but the Lord says, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Woo. For what? For God is with me. He's with me to protect me. And so covenant love means you are committed to a relationship with him and you're committed to doing his will. Now, his will is definitely not selfish, is it? His will is not selfish. His thoughts are not our thoughts, the Bible says. And there's tests that we go through. And Philippians says this, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, God says, think about that. So today I'm going to challenge all of you to think about the good things. And remember, our old nature wants to try to maneuver its way out of thinking about the good things and wants to go in the way of the flesh to think about bad things. But God wants us to understand that when we rely upon God and God's opinion of us will help us to fight our battles. So what does he think about us? What is God's opinion of us? What is God's view on us? Well, how does he feel about us? He delights in us. That's what the Bible says. We're his children. We're precious to him. We're valuable to him. We're chosen. We're anointed and we're appointed. Does that mean that we do everything right? Absolutely not. We don't do everything right. Just like a young child doesn't do everything right when you're rearing that child and raising that child and developing and nurturing that child. But do you love that child? Do you want that child to have abandoned come into your house and beat them up? No. Do you want that child to go through all kinds of trials and difficulties? No, you don't. You want the best for that child, just like God wants the best for us. Now, what happens to a child? They do go through hard times. They do go through bumps and hard knocks. But you know what? God is always watching over that child, just like you as a parent watch over your child to protect them so that there would be no ultimate danger to their life. That is exactly the way God is. That is exactly the way God is. See, when we rely upon God, the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and our flesh is not going to rule in this hour. We've got to remember that. Our flesh is not going to rule. I have a scripture that I'd like to show you, and it's a very powerful scripture. I wrote it down, and I put it here in my notes, and I want to show that in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's put that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I want you to see how important this is. It says, get this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And let's read on. "For we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." And let's keep reading. "Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." And verse 12 is so important. "So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." So what God is saying there is that when we go through trials, tribulations, persecutions, when we go through these kinds of things, we've got to remember this, that God is our partner. He is our partner. And look at this scripture, Mark 16, verse 19 through 20. This is an important key. God is our covenant partner today. "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God." Now look at verse 20. "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them." Who worked with them? The Lord. He's still working with us, too. He's working with all of his disciples. "And the Lord worked with them, confirming his word by the signs that accompanied it." Now, we are in it to win it. We are in it to win it. Let me tell you this, that with God as our covenant partner, America will stay free. With God as our covenant partner, America will stay free. Some of you may know a man by the name of Jetson Franklin, and I'm going to be talking about him in the next few times that I share, but he invoked and invited people to be on a three-day fast, November 6th through the 8th for America, to join us to fast for America. And the reason why is that in America, in this hour, there's been a devaluing of life. What ought to make Christians very angry no longer causes us to stand up and speak out. And it started in the 1960s when many people said, well, you've got to separate church from state, and you can't talk about God in church. And actually, if you go back to what the original version of the Constitution says, it was just that we were called to be able to be protected in our church from the influence of the government over us telling us what to do. That's the original plan by God. That's the original reason. But people never read the Constitution, and it was never taught in our schools, and so we don't know exactly our promises and our rights. We don't know. And so things got off kilter. And in the 1960s and the 70s, judges were put into place that caused a lot of havoc. Things began to go downhill. And now what we're going to do as a people, as the body of Christ, is rise up and speak out against certain issues that we have the authority to be able to do. And we didn't know that before. We were duped. And so what I'd like you to see today, as I talk on this, I want you to understand the issues are at hand. The America, the free, is being challenged right now. It is being challenged. Government is trying to take preeminence, and we have to stop that. We have to stop that. Because otherwise we won't be America, the free, any longer. We won't be brave and free. We'll be influenced by other things. And let me tell you this, the neighborhoods in America today, and I'm going to quote some things here that I have really understood from listening to Jensen Franklin, who's calling people to this fast. It's a very important fast right now. It's from the 6th to the 8th. And I'm asking you as a church to join with us, okay? I'm asking you to partner with us as we join on this Fast for America, because there's a story in Judges chapter 19 about a dead mother, and this is just a very provoking story about a dead mother who actually, she was raped over and over and over and over again. And she crawled literally back to the threshold of her house after she was raped. And they were so repelled at what had happened. The people in her town were so repelled at what had happened that they took her corpse and they sent body parts of her corpse. They took it and they cut it up into pieces. And they took it to all of the 12 tribes of Israel, a piece of her body. And they asked the 12 tribes of Israel to consider what was happening and to rise up and speak out about it. And once they found out that this woman had been raped, everyone in Israel, in the 12 tribes of Israel, attacked the village where this had happened and the men who had did it and overcame the enemy. But there has to be somebody who speaks out. There has to be a group of people who speak up. There is a devaluing of life right now. We look at this world right now, and it's so filled with pornography. It's filled with violence. It's on the rise. Neighborhoods in America where police don't feel comfortable going because this lady of liberty, she can't die right now. She's a woman of liberty. And God is calling us to take a stand and to speak out. Millions of babies dying right now. Planned Parenthood seeking, can you imagine Planned Parenthood selling baby parts for business, and that's on the increase? Using tax dollars to do this? Using tax dollars for Planned Parenthood to cut up babies and sell their body parts for business? Planned Parenthood? It's repelling to me. It's sick. Who's going to speak up? I will. Why don't you? This would make us outraged. Okay? But the church has been duped. We're just sitting here, not saying anything. But this election, it's coming up. Now, mind you, we do not have perfect candidates, obviously. Neither of them are perfect. But I put together something here, and I want you to see this. I want you to take a look at the voters, presidential voters guide that was published in Joyce Meyer's website. I took it off of her website. And she's helping people to stand up. Joyce is helping people to stand up, she and her husband, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for our values in America, what God says in the Bible. This is not about a Republican Party. This is not about a Democrat. This election is not even about a person. This election is about values that God wants to have instated and stay in America. And I want you to vote that way. Vote according to values. Vote according to values, okay? Which is the pro-life? Which is the one that's encouraging morality? Which is pro-Israel? America's got to wake up, and the church has got to wake up, and Christians need to say right now that, you know, I have children. I have my daughter who's going to have grandchildren. What is America going to look like if it goes this opposite direction and the government controls everything? What's it going to look like? What is it going to look like? It's going to be chaos. It's going to be mad. You know, I can't understand how socialists can fill the stadiums right now and millions of people are cheering and going. When socialists are out there campaigning, I'm telling you, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance are moving out. And I'd like you to take a look at 2 Kings 13:17. 2 Kings 13:17. The arrows of the Lord's deliverance are going out right now. And we are not called to be silent. We are called not to be mad at people, but we're called right now to look at what is at stake. Okay? And I'm going to read this over with you, okay? Can we do that? Take a look at this voter's presidential guide right now. I want to read it with you. Okay? So take a look at it. We're going to go over it in detail and read it. What's at stake here? So you understand. This is very important. And on some of these things, I'm going to show you where the Bible says this is what the Bible says to do. Because we got to go back to what the Bible says. Okay? We have to go back to what the Word of God says is good and pure and lovely and of good report. Okay? So we're going to read over. Some of these things are very obviously biblical standards. Obviously, that we need to support. Okay? Okay, we have two candidates here. Obviously, like I said, not perfect people. Imperfect, both of them. All right? So what we have to do is vote Bible. We have to vote Bible. That's the only thing that we have to do. We have to vote Bible. Okay, look at the Supreme Court. This was published on Joyce Meyer's website. Supreme Court nominations. Do you support or oppose appointing original judges to the Supreme Court of the United States and the lower courts? Originalist judges. What does originalist mean? That means that support the foundational truths of the Constitution. The foundational Constitution. What are our original foundation, the founding fathers believe? Support. Donald Trump supports it. Democrat Hillary Clinton opposes it. You've got to look at these. These are facts. Religious liberty. Do you support or oppose legislation like the First Amendment Defense Act, which will protect from government discrimination against Christians and others who have an orthodox religious belief or moral conviction regarding marriage, the sanctity of human life, or human sexuality? Donald Trump supports it. Hillary opposes it. Okay? Which way would you vote? You got to choose this. You got to think about this. If you're going to vote for God, stand up for what God says is biblical, okay? Obviously, the sanctity of human life is biblical. That's what the Bible says. We shouldn't be killing people and allowing their body parts to be used everywhere. That's pagan. That's absolutely horrible. Okay, Obamacare repeal. Do you support or oppose the repeal of Obamacare? One supports, one opposes. Obviously, that's where the Bible doesn't speak out. Okay? So we'll move forward. Do you support or oppose legislative or judicial actions necessary to reverse the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision in Obergefell and versus Hodges, which imposed same-sex marriage on all 50 states? There's an unknown here for Donald Trump. And there is opposing for Hillary Clinton. Abortion. Do you support or oppose taxpayers' funding of elective abortions? Oppose. Donald Trump opposes that. Hillary supports it. So if you're giving the Hillary your vote, you know what you're doing? You're saying, I don't believe that God's word is true. I'm speaking out. I don't believe it. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You make the choice. You make the choice. The Bible says, do not kill. All right? Planned Parenthood. Do you support or oppose giving tax dollars to Planned Parenthood? Donald Trump opposes that. Hillary supports it. Do you support or oppose? Do you want your tax dollars going for that kind of thing? You make the choice. The Bible says, be a good steward of your money. Okay? Remember, I'm not talking today about candidates and their personalities. This is not the issue. We have two imperfect people here. But we've got to vote what God says is biblical. That's what we need to do. We vote what is biblical now. All right? Stem cell research. Once again, unknown for Donald Trump. Hillary supports it. I don't know if the Bible is very clear on that, so we'll move forward. Estate tax. Do you support or oppose the repeal of federal estate tax, known as the death tax? Support Donald Trump. Opposing Hillary. Natural marriage. Now, the Bible speaks very clearly on this. Do you support or oppose an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that protects marriage as the union of one man and one woman? Donald Trump, he opposes that. Okay? Hillary opposes that. The ENDA Equality Act. Do you support or oppose federal legislation that creates special protection for LGBT categories such as the ENDA or the Equality Act? Unknown. Hillary supports it. Here, our education. Do you support or oppose parental rights in public and private education? Now, this is a very, very, very important issue to God. Who educates our children? Who is going to educate our children? Do you want the government to educate your children? I certainly don't. Okay? I certainly want every bit of say I can in whether it be a public school or a private school. But that's not the way that some feel. Now, the biblical way, the Bible says, is train up a child in the way he should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The biblical standard is what Donald Trump supports here. The military, do you support or oppose efforts to repeal the social policies of President Obama? Within the military, protecting status based on sexual orientation and the push to place women in the front lines, which compromise readiness and have restricted religious liberty. Mixed, Donald Trump, oppose for Hillary. Some of these things, like I said, God doesn't speak up about very clearly. But I'll tell you what, there are some pretty strong things here that God is speaking up about, and he wants us to speak up. For instance, look at this last part, political free speech. Do you support or oppose restrictions for churches and other 501c3s on political speech and activities? Oppose. Who opposes that? Donald Trump. Who supports it? Do you want restrictions in our church? Do you? Do you want me to sit up here like a puppet? No. No. We've got to vote this election based on biblical issues, not on people. Okay? Because obviously there's lots of flaws we're dealing with in character. But we have to remember that God has a mandate for us to vote biblical standards. And, you know, I look at some things. There's terrorism coming on this earth. I mean, it's all over the place right now. But Christians by the millions have to go and take a stand. They go to the polls and vote for judges that can stand up for morality. not a nation where anyone can marry whom you love. I've heard that over and over again. Think about that. Think about that. If you marry who you love, what's going to happen when we start to love our dog or our cat? We marry, and then our nation's going to approve of marrying cats and dogs and having sex with cats and dogs? I'm telling you. You know, we have to get back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? It's the only way. The body of Christ can unify, and we have to vote values now. There's no nonsense now. This is important that we remember. This is not loyalty to a Democratic or a Republican Party any longer. And we need to stop arguing about stuff. We need to come together and take a stand about issues that we believe in. All right? Now, I certainly do not want anyone opposing restrictions to churches on political speech and activities, or we won't even have a church any longer. Okay? The church will be underground. And so, this book of the law, the Bible says, and let's look at Joshua right now. We're going to read that together. This book of the law shall not depart out of our mouths. It says, be strong and of good courage, because you will lead those people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Okay? Now look at verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And look at verse 8. I love this, 8 and 9. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Hallelujah. So what does it say? We need to speak up. Have I not commanded you? Let's look back there. That was good, Rachel. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So when you see abortion, the devil trying to wipe out millions of babies on this earth, he did that right before this. The devil tried to do that right in the time of Moses. Remember that? Remember? So there is coming a revival on this earth. That's why there's this thrust right now to kill the children. But prophetically, there's coming a revival where many sons and daughters, the Bible says, will prophesy. Young children will prophesy. And so we need to combat that right now and take a stand as we vote for righteousness. Come together as one voting person right now and find that the one closest to God's standards here is what we should elect. We should ask for, you know, what is important right now to God? Do we want our religious liberty to be compromised? No. Do we want the Constitution to be rewritten? It will eventually if we continue to go in the direction that we are. Okay, and so we've got to oppose this right now. We got to go back to the way it was. And we've got to rise up and we've got to say, wait a second, education, who do I want educating my children? Okay, I want to be able to have the freedom that we have in our nation and continue to support political free speech, to do what God says. There's strong words here about the Supreme Court nominations that we can put into place some old-fashioned constitutional people that will say what our nation was built on. We have to do that right now. It's the time. And so I know I've been struggling with speaking out like this because I really truly believe, you know, that we don't have perfect candidates. But look at what is at stake for our future. And we have to do what's right because obviously certain candidates have said that they are taking a stand on this and they're going to do what I believe biblically is important right now. So let's pray. Let's get together and pray. Let's stand up, all of us, okay? And we're going to continue to believe for our nation to be America the free. Now, When we look at Jesus, we look at, you know, many people don't want to get involved in stuff because they're too afraid. But I've never been one to be afraid. I would rather have God's approval than man's. And I really ask, because we're in it to win it right now, church. We're in it to win it. And I want to be able to have a church that can say this. You know, God says homosexuality is a sin and not go to prison for it. But the way the world is going, it could very easily turn in that direction if we continue on the path that we are on. So we have to take a stand right now to support biblical values. And we have to say, I'm going to vote this way. And I pray, Father, that you would confirm your word right now, that many people, many pastors all over the nation right now would take a stand, God, that they wouldn't be afraid of speaking out. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would encourage believers all over right now to stand for what is true, to get this in the hands of as many people, Lord, as possible, so that we can devote ourselves to prayer. And Father, we enter into a fast, God, November 6th through the 8th. We stand with our brothers and sisters and with Pastor Jensen Franklin as he has encouraged believers to do so. Lord, in a time where our nation could go in the right direction, God, we don't want to be given over to any kind of evil. Lord, the terrorist attacks, things such as these things, God, that would compromise our values, our nation. God, we know that you said in your word that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I believe, God, many prophets have said this, that you're still offering mercy, Lord. As we would rise up right now and take a stand for what is righteous, Lord, what is holy. God, I believe right now that our church, Lord, will vote in the right direction, will take a stand for what is biblical and not be swayed by political parties or even by personal agendas or personalities. Lord, in Jesus' name, we look at what you stand for and we want to vote for that. And God, I pray, God, that more and more of us would be given over to this spirit of prayer right now. Lord, night and day I've been praying and fasting for our nation. Lord, I pray that our church would do their part because that's all we can do. We do our part, Lord. And God, I know you promised, Lord, that there's a mark upon those who cry out. There's a mark, that you put a mark upon them and that you protect them. Father, I praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you know that is true? The Bible says that there's a mark that's placed upon those that are intercessors. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the weeks to come. There's a mark upon those that are intercessors, that when the angel of death comes through, that those that are interceding and praying for righteousness will be passed over. So those of you that are interceding and praying for righteousness, God's going to protect you in the years and the months to come. And that we can stand as God's covenant partner and believe for the good things that God has. I'm going to pray right now. And Brother Bill, could you come forward? I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask that the altars would be open for us to all of us to take a stand. Pastor Tom, can you come forward too? And Brother Delvin and Janine, and we're going to agree together that our nation will be given over to God's purposes. Brother Delvin, come forward, please. And Janine, I think that would be fine if just Delvin and Janine pray today. But we're going to invoke the power and authority of God that we would have the ability to stand up for righteousness. And we're going to pray in agreement. And not only that, but we're going to stand right now with you for your prayer needs, okay? If you have specific prayer needs, come forward. Pastor Tom, would you like to join?